This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
It's Tuesday night and the moon is bright. Gonna have some fun, show you how it's done, comics in black and white. I don't know why, but the TGIF theme song popped into my head when I was getting ready to start today and decided to use it a little bit there. But I was thinking back to TGIF and what it was. And so I did a little bit of looking up. TGIF started in 1985 and it ran pretty much through all the 90s. And I was looking back to some of the shows that were part of what TGIF was. And man, there were a lot of shows that I grew up watching. And some of them, because I was born in 83, so TGIF started when I was two. So I wasn't really watching, you know, Mr. Belvedere when it was on Friday nights when I was 2 years old. But I remember growing up watching it shown as reruns and in the middle of the day on the weekends all the time. Yeah, a lot of great shows from my childhood. Mr. Belvedere. I never really watched Webster. That was one of the ones when it first started. Full House, of course, is one that anybody who's around my age grew up on. Perfect Strangers. Everybody Loved Balky. So many different shows. It's kind of weird how it changed over time. Dinosaurs. Family Matters. Step by Step. This is where it's really getting into the swing of when I was watching the most. Then 93, you get Boy Meets World. I was starting to get a little bit older by then. I mean, I was 10. I wasn't old, but a lot of great shows, you know, for young people. It's definitely the later 90s, like when Sabrina the Teenage Witch started. That's when I was losing interest in those types of shows. But anyways, that's all a big tangent from the purpose of tonight's episode. Well, originally the purpose of tonight's episode was I was going to have a guest on for the first time. But unfortunately, wonderful, wonderful Skype was being difficult and his account wasn't working. So he has to get that fixed up and we're going to try again on a future date. So I hadn't really prepared as much as I usually do for an episode. I usually try to jot some more notes down about stuff, but I wasn't planning on talking a lot of comic talk tonight because we were going to be talking about some other thing. But since he's not on, I figure I might as well talk about what I've been reading a bit and talk about something that the more I read, the more intrigued and more interested I get in it. So first of all, one of the things that I read in the last few days or so was Starlight, a book by Mark Millar, art by Goran Parlov, hopefully I said correctly. It was recommended to me by Aaron Bell of the Absolute DC podcast, of Podcast of a Thousand Holds when he's on it. I hadn't read it. I hadn't read really a lot of Mark Millar. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I'm familiar with that he's written, and I've read some of his stuff, but man, he's got a lot of stuff he's written, that's for sure. And in general, I found that it's at least a pretty enjoyable read, but Aaron's criticism is that you can kind of tell when he gets bored with a book that he's writing. And Aaron particularly liked this one because he didn't feel that Millar got bored with it. He stuck it through well. I enjoyed this one because it's a book that easily could have ended bittersweet, could have ended on a down note. So many books do that where you get to the end and you have perfect insight, but something has to go wrong. And so there's a sour note to the ending. This book is about a man who was in the Air Force and somehow he accidentally ended up going through a wormhole and ending up on another world. And he saved them from their tyrannic ruler and helped them liberate themselves. And then he went back to his world and nobody believed. He aged with his children thinking he was just a liar, everybody thinking he was a joke. And then later on in his life, his wife passes away, his sons are grown, and a young boy from the planet he saved comes to get him to help because they have been overthrown by somebody who is laying in wait to just prey on them now that they don't have a strong military and a strong ruler. And that's the problem with not having a despot in charge. And anyhow, the main character goes back to the planet and, long story short, saves the day, goes back home. And not only does he go back home to what he had left, but he goes back home and the child who'd gone and picked him up in the first place insists on flying the spaceship to show off for the man's two sons. So then his whole family knows that everything he said was the truth too. So he goes from a pretty sad state at the beginning to finally having everybody believe what he's always said in the end, and having saved another world twice. So I really liked that it just ended on a good note, that it didn't end with him dying and not getting back to his world, but saving the planet. It didn't end with him going back home, but everybody's still just thinking that he was a crazy old fool. It ended with him being seen, at least by his family, as the hero that he was. So I really enjoyed it quite a bit. It was just a good read. I definitely recommend it to anybody. The other things that I read before I get into the meteor part of what I want to talk about is I decided that I'm going to focus a portion of my reading channels on reading through the rest of the Criminal series. So I finished volume 4 and I got most of the way through volume 5. I'll actually be finishing that up tonight or tomorrow. And I believe there's only one more volume after that. But I've very much enjoyed Criminal. I hadn't read a whole lot of Ed Brubaker before, not too long ago. I had talked about getting his run on Captain America from a friend. And before that, I had read a little bit here and there, but not that much. Never really got too enthralled with it. I do think one thing is that over time, I'm getting a little bit more interested in his genre of writing, which is based more on kind of, I don't know, detectives and noir and kind of stuff like that. Like even his Captain America has a little bit more of a hint of that aspect of, and not just traditional superhero type of stuff, but the kind of stuff you would see in a detective story in a way. Not just the detecting, but just the sneaking around, figuring stuff out, and that sort of stuff. And, you know, I mean, Criminal's not a book about detectives. It's about the criminals, but you still get that. And I've also been reading Gotham Central, which he wrote in conjunction with, I believe it's Greg Pak. I might be remembering incorrectly, but he wrote it in conjunction with another writer. And I've read 2 of the 4 volumes of that, and I'll definitely be finishing that up too. But it's been very good. So I've grown my appreciation for Ed Brubaker quite a bit. Sean Phillips does the art in all of the Criminal books. And the 2 volumes are entitled Bad Night and The Sinners. The Sinners is the one that I still haven't quite finished. So I won't talk too much about that one. But Bad Night I found very interesting. It's about a guy who his wife died. They thought he killed her because she basically kind of disappeared. It's because she crashed her car off of a road and ended up in, I forget exactly what they called it, but in some kind of a drainage pipe or something like that, to where she wasn't easily found. And through the course of them assuming that he did it, he gets brutally beaten and handicapped from that. A detective is after him and is trying to frame him for it. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff. But he, essentially, his wife's uncle was the one that had him beat and nearly crippled, partially crippled, very damaged. And when it came out that he didn't kill his wife, as a way of making amends, he set this guy up to be able to do whatever he wanted to do. And the guy wanted to make a comic strip. So now he has that job, ultimate job security. The comic strip cannot be ended. And he's writing about a character that he came up with when he was incapacitated and recovering. Then as you get through the story, there's lots of twists and turns, which is to be expected from a story like this. And that's what makes it really good. You think things are going one way, but then it takes a turn and goes another way, but then it takes another turn at some point. So there's not just double crosses, there's triple crosses going back and forth over itself. So you can do your best to try to guess what's going on, but even if you make a guess, stuff just keeps on switching back and forth so much that it's easy to feel for sure that you're right, but then turns out you were just looking at the wrong thing the whole time, basically. I love the way that it ended. I won't say how it ended, but stuff definitely gets screwier and screwier. So I definitely very much liked Volume 4 of Criminal, Bad Night. I'm enjoying Volume 5, The Sinners, quite a bit right now. I read all of Volume 4 and almost all of Volume 5 just while sitting and waiting for my truck to get worked on at the mechanic today. So they flew through them pretty quickly. To me, that's always a sign of something that's just really good and enthralling when you don't even have to think, you don't feel the time you're spending on it. It just goes by so quickly. So the other thing that I wanted to talk a bit about is, I finished the second IDW collection of G.I. Joe. And there's, I believe, 7 different collections. Let me actually verify that real quick. Yes, I have 7 collections of the G.I. Joe IDW collection. I also have a lot of Transformers collections, then I believe there's some collections that I have not put on my tablet yet that I should have by now that is a crossover series between the two. But I could be remembering wrong. For now, the important fact is that there are 7 of these IDW collections from the G.I. Joe IDW series. So I just finished reading the second one. And one of the things that I'm finding is the more I read G.I. Joe, the more I enjoy it and the easier it is to enjoy it and understand what's going on. When I first started reading it, I was kind of lost in that I knew very, very few of the characters. I think the only character I really knew was Snake Eyes, and the rest of them, like some stood out, like the Baroness right away stands out really strongly as a distinct character. But at first, when there are all these different characters, it's kind of hard to tell who is distinct enough to really get a grasp on and who's just a character. You know, I hadn't ever read a G.I. Joe comic. I didn't watch the cartoon growing up. I didn't play with the toys. So it's not like I had a real deep knowledge of G.I. Joe characters. And as I keep reading, more characters are standing out as more prominent, which, you know, of course, is always going to be the case. You can't make everybody matter right off the bat. But I want to talk a little bit about the amount of content I've read between. So these IDW collections, I actually have a Ninja Turtle one sitting right here in front of me. They're $50. They're a nice hardcover. I feel like IDW does hardcover collections very nicely. I think their trade paperbacks aren't really the best value, at least for the most part from what I've seen. I always have a basic rule of thumb that if a collection costs more than the compiled cost of the comics, there's something wrong. And some of the times that's the case with IDW stuff. It'll be $18 for a 4-issue trade. I don't think it's always the case, though. I just had noticed that some of that was the case. But these hardcover collections, you're getting a hardcover collection that's already, you know, nicer than just a paperback. And these, so the first collection has G.I. Joe Origins 0-5, written by Larry Hama with art by Mike Hawthorne and Tony Feister. Then you have Origins 8-10, written by Larry Hama, art by Andrea Moody. When I took the notes on this, I wrote very sloppily and quickly, so hopefully I'm reading correctly now. Then you have Origins 6, Chuck Dixon writing it, and Augustin Padilla and Rick Ketchum doing the artwork. And if you'll notice right there, these already aren't in order. So one of the things that IDW collections do is they actually set the stories up in a proper reading order. So already in this first volume, you have 5 issues in a row, or 6 issues in a row, 0-5 of the origin. Then you jump to number 8-10, then you go back to number 6. And number 7 isn't even in volume 1. And then volume 1 ends with G.I. Joe issues 0-6. So you get 17 issues of comics and a $50 hardcover. If you do the math, 17 times $4 an issue is $68. So if you're comparing it to the per issue price, you're saving $18. And then of course, if you can't buy a book at a discount, I'm not saying a comic book, it's a book. Even a comic, you'd be able to subscribe, get some kind of a discount. But if you buy a hardcover like this, you can buy it on Amazon for a discount. You go to instocktrades.com and get it for a discount. So if you're paying full price anyways, you're just wasting money because there's always a way to save some money on it. But even just at the cover price, you're saving $18 from the cost of the little issues. So that's quite a value. 17 comics hardcovers. Now, volume 2 has 16 comics in it. It starts out with Origins number 7, written by Chuck Dixon, art by, oh man, I wrote that down so bad I can't read it. Alex Carl, I'm going to guess. I can't quite read what I wrote for the last name. I apologize about that. You have Cobra 0-4. Now, this is what I was most looking forward to. I actually read a trade paperback of Cobra, but it was volume 2, not volume 1. So I read what came after this, which I still haven't gotten to yet. And I liked it a lot. And that's why I bought this Humble Bundle when it was available, is that trade of Cobra was very good. And it made it worth the cost of the whole bundle for the amount of content I got. It was absurd anyways, which is usually the case with a Humble Bundle. But I think I paid $25. I got the most expensive bundle because it included all of these IDW collections for G.I. Joe and Transformers. So anyways, back to volume 2, Origins number 7, Cobra 0-4, written by Mike Costa and Christos Gage, with art by Antonio Fuso, and Cobra special number 1, Tomax and Zamot, how many say it. They are twin brothers. Interesting story, written by Mike Costa, art by Antonio Fuso. Then you have G.I. Joe number 7-12, written by Chuck Dixon, art by S.L. Galan. Then you have Origins 13-14, written by Scott Beatty, art by S.L. Galan. And then Origins number 12, written by Mark, I really should have wrote clear, Mark Andreslo, I'll say, from my writing. I'll have to double check that later. and then art by Ben Temple Smith, which was quite interesting. I haven't seen Ben Temple Smith work in a while. When I first started reading comics, I actually picked up a series by Ben Temple Smith, if I remember correctly, called 10 Grand. I don't remember if he wrote it and did the art or just did the art. I think he did both. It's been a long time. So that's a series for me to double back on and check out and see what it was I was reading back then, because I don't really remember. But this volume was great. I loved the Cobra stuff. I love the progression of the G.I. Joe story. I don't quite remember what the starting point of it was, but I know that Scarlet was in deep because Snake Eyes was AWOL and she was working with Snake Eyes when that got found out. They questioned her of committing treason working with the enemy. And there was also Mainframe, who was AWOL, and Snake Eyes went and found him, and they worked together to basically finally expose that Cobra actually existed, because at this point they don't believe Cobra actually exists. They think that it's just a myth or a story, and that's what Scarlet believed, and she was working with Snake Eye to try to expose Cobra just so they would know that it was actually there, so then they could focus their efforts on Cobra. So by the end of this volume, they're all vindicated, but Snake Eyes splits again. That's kind of where that leaves off. And then we get some more of the origin stories, which were quite good. I don't remember the name of the character in the first couple, but I do know that it ended with a Baroness origin story that was very good. And that's one with the art by Ben Temple Smith. So I enjoyed both of those very much. I'm definitely going to keep continuing on reading the G.I. Joe volume. I posted a Twitter poll asking for people's opinions on what I should read next, because after I finished volume two, I didn't want to dive right into volume three, because you know, if you push too hard, it makes it easy to kind of burn out. So I like to at least kind of wet my whistle on something else. And with, you know, with reading that much of something that long, it's nice to have other stuff you're reading along with it to kind of jump back and forth with. So I was debating between reading Saga, reading Annihilation, the event from Marvel Comics, reading Criminal, or reading Abe Sapien. And Saga won the vote by quite a bit. And I tried to start reading Saga, and I just wasn't really interested. Also, give Saga another try. I've read through quite a bit of Saga. I think five or six of the trades in the past, but it's been a while. I don't quite remember where I left off. So I just want to start from the beginning, because I knew it'd be a pretty quick read with having read it before. But I kind of started reading it, and I just wasn't feeling it. So I hung that up, and I decided to jump on over to Criminal, and I'm flying through that. When that's done, I'll be reading Abe Sapien, because I've already downloaded several volumes on Hoopla. But then along with that, I'll be picking back up with G.I. Joe, which was a suggestion from many people. Another thing that I did read, everybody was raving about, was first issue of Venom, written by Donnie Cate. I don't have the name of the artist in front of me, but man, that was some good art too. I definitely suggest it. It was a pretty good story. I don't think I've ever read Venom before. I'm honestly not really super familiar with Venom. I didn't read comics growing up, and but I always knew Venom existed. My cousin was quite into comics, and that was kind of the time where there were a lot of the Marvel trading cards too. So my cousin had a ton of those. I would get those even though I didn't even read comics. You don't have to read comics to think superheroes are cool. But so I was always exposed to Venom, but I never really knew a whole lot about him. I mean, I know the basics, but didn't know a ton. I like how this one started off. You know, the story's interesting, but it's the beginning, so you know, see where it goes. But even if the story was just so-so, which it was much better than so-so, man, the art was fantastic. I felt like it had elements of what was really predominant in 90s comics art, but it was the good elements, and it was done well and done right. And it wasn't abusing those aspects to kind of hide other shortcomings, which I feel like a lot of 90s comics art did that. But man, there were some pages, some panels that were real good. So if you like Donnie Cates at all, if you like Venom, you like Spider-Man, whatever, check it out. Definitely worth reading. And that's all I have for tonight. I had planned some other stuff, obviously, with the guest I was going to have. And I should be having a different guest coming soon. So hopefully there will be a couple episodes that I'll have guests on. We'll be talking about kind of different stuff. But check out those comics. If you've read the G.I. Joe IDW comics or you are interested in what I've been saying and want to read them, let me know what you've read, what you think. You can tweet me, tweet the podcast at CBW Podcast on Twitter. You can tweet me at Who's Paul. If you haven't yet, check out G.I. Joe. Once I get through G.I. Joe, I'll be checking out Transformers too. Both things were highly recommended to me by Chris Campbell. He's a big Transformers fan, but you know, G.I. Joe stuff was good too, but I kind of found my own way into that. But then he raves about Transformers. So I'll be checking out all that over time, but obviously that'll take a long time. But let me know what you think about it. Let me know if you like Criminal, if you like Brubaker, what other Brubaker stuff should I be checking out? And for that matter, what other Mark Millar stuff should I be checking out? And am I saying his name right? I've heard it pronounced both ways, Millar or Miller. With that A in there, I'm going to lean towards Millar because it is spelled differently, but maybe I'm wrong. So hit me up on Twitter, let me know what you think, and hopefully you'll be getting some special episodes from Comics in Black and White coming soon.
Must come down, but not me, clown. I cut up, crack a speaker when I'm pumping. So jump in and watch your ears start humming through the block. And don't forget to boom shock, shock a lot.
Well, damn, do it all. Can I rock?
Wow, wait.